This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, happy Wednesday. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. We are grateful that you're spending a little bit of your beautiful Wednesday afternoon with us here in St. Louis. If you're listening at the top of the hour here on 97.1 FM Talk, you heard the breaking news of the last hour. And I'll just get you up to date here. I'm going to tell you there's been a school shooting in Georgia, and we are going to follow the story over the course of the show, and we'll bring you, if there's a press conference, I don't know the timeline on this right now, we'll bring you the updates of what is going on in Georgia, but I want to make sure that I start the show off here with the facts that we know. Fox News reports a shooting at a high school in north central Georgia has temporarily put the building on lockdown as authorities respond to the scene. Law enforcement confirmed multiple casualties at Appalachie High School in Barrow County, Georgia, on Wednesday. According to the county sheriff's office, at approximately 10:23 a.m., officers from multiple law enforcement agencies and fire EMS personnel were dispatched to the high school in reference to a reported active shooting. At the time of this release, one suspect is in custody. Casualties have been reported. However, details on the number of their conditions is not available at the time. Footage from the scene shows first responders rendering aid to individuals outside the school, as well as dozens of police officers surrounding the perimeter. The FBI has also acknowledged that they are aware of the unfolding situation. The governor of Georgia, we're familiar with him, talk about him on the show in a different capacity. This is where the governorship responsibility really comes to the foreground. He said, "I have directed all available state resources to respond to the incident at Appalachie High School and urge all Georgians to join my family in praying for the safety of those in our classrooms, both in Barrow County and across the state. We will continue to work with local, state, federal partners as we gather information and further respond to the situation." Fox News also just reported on television the president has been briefed. We haven't had a school shooting for a little bit. These things continue to happen. It is going to be politicized, of course, as these things are. There's a lot that is predictable about what happens next. But specifically on this show, and I'm sad to say that we've had to report on these and cover these as they've unfolded, my way of handling this for you is to make sure that you are informed, and I'm never diving headfirst into the political conversation surrounding these issues while we're still gathering facts. So we will wait for the facts to be gathered and reported on. As of this point right now, there is no press conference scheduled. I believe that they are still securing the area. And so when that press conference is called, if it happens during our show, we will be sure to bring that to you, at least so that we can get the basis understanding of the facts of the matter. So I just want to make sure that we start the show off with that very important news, because that is headline news right now, of course. And we do pray for those who are waiting. I can't imagine. I mean, my entire life is in a school right now. My husband, all four of my children, they are all in schools right now. And it's just, it is shocking to me each and every time that this is a reality, that you can't go to school and feel safe. It is very sad. I know that there is, we're going to shift gears here a little bit. There is a Trump, is it a town hall with Sean Hannity tonight?
Yes, I believe it is a town hall.
But it's in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
I think that these opportunities is where Donald Trump really shines. I think that when Donald Trump gets to talk to real people, as I've stated before and will continue to state again, Donald Trump's opponent in this race is the caricature that has been painted of him by people who hate him, who have a vested interest in him losing. And when Donald Trump gets the opportunity to speak to people, not to reporters, not to agenda-driven media outlets on both sides of the aisle. I mean, I've seen Donald Trump sit down with Sean Hannity, and Sean Hannity basically holds his hand through the entire interview as much as anybody can try to hold. Donald Trump is usually disinterested in it. And when they're having this conversation, it's just one ball on the tee question after the other for Donald Trump. I mean, like, objection, leading the witness. The thing about those types of interviews for me is Trump doesn't need that. Trump doesn't need the interviewer to formulate the question in a way that really sets him up for a nice soft landing, which is what Dana Bash did on CNN for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. I actually really prefer when an interviewer, and there aren't very many that, well, there are some. There really aren't many interviewers that can sit down with Donald Trump where I feel like there is no political bias injected in it. And, I don't need to sit down and watch. I will watch it, to sit down and watch Sean Hannity interview Trump or Laura Ingraham interview Trump. I'm interested in a Bret Baier interview of him. I'd be interested in some CNN ones. But it's like if the bias in that interview is so strong going into it, I can't get raw Trump out of it. And when we get raw Trump, we get the best of Donald Trump. Not combative Donald Trump. I know a lot of people love combative Donald Trump. I don't hate him like some of y'all do, but I don't need it. I don't need to see Donald Trump winning fights with people in order to be like, that's my guy. What I am interested in Donald Trump as the next president of the United States is his policy on the economy, is his policy on business, is his policy on securing the border, is his policy on my right as a parent to make sure that I'm parenting my child exactly the way that my husband and I together see fit. My rights as an American citizen, the agreement and understanding and focus that America is the greatest nation on the face of the earth and that we need to fortify and protect the greatest nation on the face of the earth before we embellish our spoils anywhere else on the face of the planet. That America first is a mentality that makes us not only America first, but America the great, because we can then bless other areas in the world because we have focused on America first. So essentially, yeah, it's his policies that I see that I am 100% signed on. There are moments. I know that it causes a few of you to start to feel that chafe in those parts that really steal your focus away from the actual issue of what's going on. But when I see Donald Trump walking to place wreath after wreath at Arlington National Cemetery with the 13 Gold Star families that are represented there because they asked him to be there and he answered the call to support those families, that tugs at my heartstrings. But it tugs at my heartstrings in a more political sense because the commander in chief should be the one who is there. At worst, the vice president of the United States, and the fact that they choose to not acknowledge those individuals and then in turn try to do some sort of magic trick where they are like, we're responsible for the decision that created these Gold Star families. They died on our watch. We've denied the fact that their lives matter in our administration's mind because we say we haven't lost anybody, which just in that debate, man, that was the worst thing that came out of that debate is Joe Biden saying that he hasn't lost anybody. You've denied their actual existence. You created these Gold Star families and then you deny their actual existence. You do not show up to support their families in their time of mourning, in their great sacrifice. And then you come around at the end and be like, but Donald Trump's making this political. No, 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 no. Your absence is the most politically strong message of them all. It does feel political to me, but when I see Donald Trump present with those families, it shows me what his values are. And a lot of people think that his values are trying to make a political statement. And the truth of the matter is, you can think that. I can't stop you from thinking that. I don't even want to invest the time in trying to convince you otherwise, because there's no possible way that I could. But what I do know is that Donald Trump cares about those individuals, and he chose to show up for those individuals, even though he knew that politically the fallout could be maybe complicated for him, because he knows that there's a large portion of the media that doesn't support anything that he does and thinks that he crawled out of hell to come rule America. And it's just not how I see it. When Donald Trump goes and does a town hall like he's going to do tonight, and he's going to be speaking to people in Pennsylvania, smart. When he goes to do that and he gets to interact with people, I think we get the closest understanding of who Donald Trump really is. And for people who despise him, will they tune in to watch this? Will they listen to what he has to say? Have they predetermined that everything he breathes is a lie, is deceitful? Some of them might. But the economy is not doing well for enough people for those individuals to not look at their options right now in this election and say, I think I know where Kamala Harris is going with this. It's more of the same, if not extra of the same. And, you know, I've heard all this about Donald Trump, but my 401k, my checking account, my savings account, my ability to pay my bills, my income to expense ratio was much more in my favor when Donald Trump was the president of the United States. I wonder what he has to say tonight. And you tune in and you get to hear Trump, hopefully, talking to these people and not being completely managed by Sean Hannity. I'm just like, be quiet. Stop talking. Let Trump do it. I think it's a very smart move, and I think he should do as many of these opportunities. He should do it with CNN. He should do it with MSNBC, should he get the opportunity to do that. And I think the American people will have the opportunity to see this man for who he is. And if he handles himself in a positive way, he puts one more crack in the facade that has been created, that caricature around him, to try to make him the evil villain cartoon character that they need him to be, because the Kamala Harris campaign strategy is that they aren't Trump. YouTube live chat poll for today is, grade the Trump campaign strategy so far. This is yesterday's poll, was to grade the Harris campaign strategy so far. We need to know what you think about how Trump's campaign is doing at this point. So if you go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, you will see that poll. It's in the live chat portion, and you can grade A, B, slash C, D, or F. And let us know what you think. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to keep our eye on this tragic story in what looks like Winder, Georgia. I was saying Barrow County earlier. And we will update you on the school shooting that took place there as we get more details. Let's speak next to Kaylee McEnany, one of our favorite guests here on The Annie Fry Show. Kaylee McEnany, when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier, and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. We are watching the Georgia school shooting news as it is being reported at Appalachee High School in Winder, Georgia. And we will bring you news on that as it continues to develop. I want to get to our guest. Excited to have Kayleigh McEnany back with us, the co-host of Outnumbered on Fox, a former White House press secretary, and she is author of Serenity in the Storm. Kayleigh, I had plans for our conversation today, but you're a mom and I'm a mom, and you wrote a book about Serenity in the Storm, and we are being confronted once again this morning with another school shooting that sounds up. Feels a lot like a storm.
Yeah, Annie, indeed it does. And it's so sad that every mom in America, every dad in America, every sibling in America has to think about this. You know, my mind last week went to, we're about to go back to school. You know, I pray that our students are safe. And this happens all too often. It's heartbreaking to cover. You know, we pray for all of those families impacted. We know that there are casualties at this moment. You know, we don't know exactly what that looks like. We know at least people have been wounded, and we pray that no one has passed away from this tragic incident. But you know, as I think about this, you know, I think about not just covering it from a news perspective, but also how to fix it. And something I've been very passionate about for a long time is passing Marsha Blackburn's legislation that would provide security in all of our schools, hardening our schools, making them safer, serving as a deterrent. And I bring it up every time one of these happens, because it's time for everyone to get in a room, you know, Republican, Democrat, no matter your leanings, and talk about how to protect our students. We know that so many of these shooters articulate their threat beforehand, their plans beforehand. They tell a friend or, you know, a family member. We need to figure out how to stop this. And it means coming together and working together as adults to protect America's children.
Yes. Amen to that. I mean, of all things, invest in. I think that we should be able to get behind that. You know, when I see these school shootings, we don't know the details. We don't know about this shooter. We don't know the whys, and we should be looking into that. But there's such a consistency on a broader look right now with young people in America and depression and isolation and, you know, their access to screens and the lack of focus on communication with people face to face. And my oldest is 14. He started high school today. My youngest is 3. And I'm even seeing in that spectrum the difference in the way that they're accessing technology. And I'm just curious, as a mom, like, what do you look out for? Yours are younger, I know that, but what do you look out for when you're covering these things, the mental health crisis that youth have in our country right now? It gets politicized real fast, but the mental health part seems to be left behind the politics of it pretty quickly.
Absolutely. And, you know, when we look at these, what we see, you know, as I noted, that when you look at data, I was looking at FBI data just in the last 30 minutes that said there are at least 4 or 5 concerning signs with each of these school shooters every time before it happens. And to your point, we don't know if this is even a student who did this. We have no clue at this moment who this perpetrator is. We know they're in custody, reportedly. But, you know, when you think about the Ethan Crumley shooting that happened at Oxford High School, and you see that he drew a picture beforehand that was pretty vivid about his intent, and is so vivid that an administrator or a teacher brought it to a principal and the parents were called in. And you see this and you think, you know, gosh, could something have prevented that if the parents spoke up? If the parents said, hey, we know he has a weapon. We purchased him a weapon in the days before. That was the fact pattern in Oxford High School. There are so many red flags that go unnoticed. But to your point, you know, beyond just stopping those red flags, you get to the deeper point, which to exactly what you said, it's social media, it's a depression, it's an angst among young people. And what that is rooted in is a lack of identity. And for a lot of these kids, you know, we teach our children that your identity is in Christ Jesus. We go to church. They know they are loved, not just by their parents, but they're loved by their Creator. And you've got to think, if we got back to some of those family traditions of faith and love and putting that before social media, that some of these depressions that are at the root, not just of of violence like this, but suicides and real existential health problems for our young women and young men as well. If we got back to faith and family, it would go a long way to solving really the root of this entire problem.
Amen to that. We're speaking with Kayleigh McEnany, co-host of Outnumbered on Fox. She is also the former White House press secretary, as many of you recognize her from. Kayleigh, I want to shift gears out of the news coming out of Georgia and a clean segue here into the campaign, the politics of the matter. Tonight, we're going to see Donald Trump in Pennsylvania on a Hannity town hall. I think that this is where Donald Trump shines when he talks to real people. And I've been saying that Donald Trump's main opponent in this race is the caricature that has been made of him. You know him on a very personal mm-hmm. level. Who Donald Trump has made out to be versus the man that he really is, how much of a difference is there between those two understandings of who Donald Trump is?
Oh, a wide chasm of a difference, for sure. Look, you know, I understand people don't like the way that, you know, Trump tweets at times or the names he uses, and I understand all of that. But what they don't realize is who the person is. And the person I saw behind the scenes was someone who not just cared about our country, he absolutely cares about our country, loves our servicemen and women, also just on a personal level, like loved me as a mom and encouraged me to be with my family. And I remember one night late on Marine One, he said, you know, next weekend, you know, why are you here? Next weekend you need to go be with your family. It's important that you spend time with your kids. And he was someone who deeply cared on a personal level, those who worked for him. And I know that that was an extension of really his love for our country. Those are two very different images, the one in the media and the Trump that I know. And, you know, I think on the debate stage, getting to show a little bit of that other side is going to be a really big moment for him next week. Getting to show kind of what we saw on the debate stage with Joe Biden, just this calm, serene leader who led our country for four great years. And unfortunately, we had COVID there at the end, which is a hard time for our country. But when you look back, they really were years of economic prosperity and a lot of success.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are reflecting on that at this point in time. I mean, the counterpart here with Kamala Harris, I mean, we're supposed to believe that Donald Trump could never understand what it's like to be a Midwesterner here in St. Louis, Missouri, middle class income, trying to raise a family and just kind of get through the day and pay for the groceries and pay for the gas. We're supposed to look at Kamala Harris and think that she's more able to understand who we are. And she's not even really willing to make that case to the American people by avoiding the media with great success so far. Do you think during that debate next week that she is going to show us anything that she hasn't continued to show us leading up to that point? You think we're going to have any surprises?
You know, we may. And I say that because, number one, you are exactly right. She is trying to script her way to the presidency. Teleprompters. You know, she had the one interview with CNN. That's one interview and, you know, however many days. It's really extraordinary. Very few off-the-cuff moments. The first presidential debate for her with President Trump will be next week. But here is, you know, one thing that I think the campaign should do, and I do notice the Kamala Harris campaign doing this. They, David Plouffe, who worked for Obama, is now a senior advisor to Kamala Harris, came out and said, look, Trump has done, I forget how many presidential debates he said, six or seven, and we fully expect to be the underdog, and this is going to be a tough fight. They're really trying to downplay expectations, and I think it's something the Trump campaign should do too, because for all the times we see Kamala Harris in these unscripted situations where she has these odd moments where she uses the same words over and over, a lot has changed since then. I believe she's undergone media training. I don't think she's going to totally flop on the debate stage. So I think the Trump campaign should set the bar and say, look, we know she's had media training. We're going to see a different Kamala Harris. But the Kamala Harris that you're voting for is the Kamala Harris that's going to make you poorer, that's going to tax you more, that's going to open our borders and go through each and every policy detail. But I think the debate expectation setting game is very important leading up to that day.
I think you're spot on with that. Last question before we let you go, and we're really grateful for your time. We're speaking with Kayleigh McEnany. Just going back to that Dana Bash interview, you're a communications expert. You're one of the very best at it. What did you think about the camera, the setup of them sitting around this kind of awkward table, Dana Bash in the foreground, Tim Walz just silently, weirdly sitting there on the left, and Kamala Harris, she looked half the size of the other two behind a table. It certainly didn't come off as powerful to me.
Annie, it was so odd. I mean, first of all, to have, you know, I guess Walz was just there for support. I mean, he was asked, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it was like three questions.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have this, you know, 20-minute interview, and he's asked three questions. It was very awkward, very odd. You know, for all I say about the media training he's undergone, you know, I really don't understand why, if you're so vastly improved and you're so ready for this debate, you wouldn't just have a one-on-one interview. She had that horrible moment with Lester Holt where she said, yeah, I haven't been to the border. You know, I haven't been to Europe either. You know, maybe she was afraid of a repeat, or, you know, maybe there's some fear there. I don't know. But the whole look of it was odd. The oddest part was having Tim Walz sit to your right hand, your running mate and your co-interviewer is what I've been calling him.
Yeah, it was bizarre. And the questions that he asked were like 2/3 into the interview. It's, what are you doing there? It's bizarre. Kaylee, yeah, thank you.
He must have felt odd too.
Yeah, it was weird. Thank you for being with us. We love watching you on Fox and always tune in, and you have such wise things to say. So thank you for sharing some of your time with us this afternoon.
You as well, Annie. Thank you so much.
Yep. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon. Former White House press secretary, author of Serenity in the Storm. I've read her book. She is a wonderful writer. Her first book that she wrote really details the time that she served as press secretary, as a new and young mother, and interactions with President Trump and the administration. It's a really, really great gift. If you're somebody who has an affinity for Kaylee McEnany, you appreciate what she's done, what she says, or her contributions there on Fox, check out her book. It's a good read. Kaylee McEnany on the Annie Fry Show. Let's dip in here real quick. They just held a press conference in a very brief one to give us some updates. So let's listen into George. Is this the police that were giving this press conference? And listen into what they had to say.
My name is Sheriff Judge Smith. I'm the sheriff of Bexar County Sheriff's Office. We're standing on the campus of Appalachia High School here at Bexar County Schools. First and foremost, I want to lift up our community. I want to give our sympathies to our community, our school system, our kids, our parents that had to witness this today. Obviously, what you see behind us is an evil thing today. At about 9:30 this morning, we received the first call that there was an active shooter on this campus. We're not releasing any information as far as injuries, but we have multiple injuries. This is a very, very fluid investigation. It's very early. And I have asked the assistance of the GBI and the agencies here behind me today, and there are multiple agencies that responded this morning to help us and help the sheriff's office. We do have a suspect in custody, and we are asking for your patience as the media to please let us get the facts that we need to make sure we get this right. Again, I've asked the GBI to help us, the sheriff's office, to help us along with this. I know this is not what you want to hear, but I'm not going to answer questions after this is over with. But I wanted to give you the respect and our community respect to let them know what was going on initially. We're in the process of reunifying our students with their parents. Obviously, that's chaotic. But we want to be respectful of them and their privacy as well. I want to thank the state, the federal agencies, the local agencies that showed up today, as you can see, the multiple EMS and fire from other agencies that responded today. Again, I ask that you lift up Bexar County Schools, lift up Appalachia, lift up our agencies. This is going to take multiple days for us to get answers as to what happened and why this happened. But I wanted to give you a statement. It is our hope, in conjunction with these people behind us, that we can give you another statement around 4 o'clock, because I know you have to go back on the air. That is my hope. But I wanted to be fluid with you all, understanding that it's fluid as well with this investigation. I appreciate you being patient with us. Again, it's very active and is ever developing. Every minute is developing on what we're finding. So we're going to have releases from other schools. Again, we ask that you be patient with us. Please be patient with us. And hopefully I can give you more information, or more better information, as you will, if you will, this afternoon. Thank you all for coming out here. We'll be back shortly, okay?
Sheriff, it's been widely reported that people are dead. Is that true?
I'm not releasing any information. We have multiple injuries.
Can you say if the person in custody is an adult or a juvenile?
I'm not releasing any information. Guys, I'm not going to answer any more questions this time, okay? Thank you.
So that's the sheriff. His name is Judd Smith, and he is from Barrow County, Georgia. And, I mean, he basically did the due diligence of speaking to the media to kind of set the stage, but not a lot of details there. We will continue to monitor this, and as more information comes through, we will address it. It looks like the Attorney General Merrick Garland is speaking on this right now. We will give that a listen on our own and see if it's something that we need to bring to you as the day progresses. So we will keep you updated on the facts. Not really terribly interested at this point without facts and getting into a conversation about this being another situation like others, because we don't know if it was like others. We have no idea what we're dealing with yet. So let's just wait for the facts, you say? All right, a quick break. When we come back, we're going to just shift into Wiggins America here for a second. And let me just read to you what Ryan sent to Brad and to me. It says, I'm very excited to discuss this with you today. And the headline is, six signs that your coworkers don't like you. So I don't know if that's going to be the case. We'll find out. And Wiggins America next. Don't go away.
Wiggins.
Oh, Wiggins.
Kind of an appropriate song.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one.
I think I love you.
Is that a new bump song for us? I don't think I've heard that on the 80
no,
Fry
probably
show.
Not.
I
there,
like it.
So we have this, I have this library of songs. Are there more than 700 or 800 songs in this library?
Oh, I couldn't give you an exact number, but it's up there.
It's
there's
up
a
there.
Ton.
But yeah, I mean, it's accumulative over not just 2018 when I started Middays, but 2016. I curated all that music. And if you can't tell, I love the 90s, the 2000s.
David Cassidy.
David Cassidy's.
Mm-hmm.
Was that?
I think that was the Partridge Family or the
yes.
Brady Bunch. I don't remember
it's
which one.
It's the Partridge Family, I believe.
Is it? Okay.
But we curate all these songs, and every once in a while, you'll remember this, Ryan. Brad was a listener then. Ryan, you were on the show then. But during COVID, you started doing dedications to people.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
Good times.
People could write in and dedicate a song, and you would do a dedication that sounded a little bit like
this.
Yeah, this
one goes out to Merrick Garland. Love that you are talking about election integrity, my friend.
Yeah.
For your choice, we have Celine Dion or whatever.
That's pretty much the way that would go. So we have some of these songs that people, that you got, basically when you did that, you got it into my library.
Yeah.
And we've done over the course of years, different other segments that have involved songs. It gets into the library, and then I will play a song like that, and I'll be like, oh my gosh, this is from 2020 when we were doing dedications to people on Wednesdays.
That's amazing that you can remember that.
Well,
I did the dedications, and I don't remember any of them.
Yeah,
I'm just reading though. you know, when you just read and you don't speak off the cuff, you don't really remember what you're saying because it's just sort of programmed for you.
The less you think about what you're saying when you're reading something for copy, if you hear me doing a recorded spot on this station for a client that I support, like when I'm talking to you during the show, this is some BTS behind the scenes stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But like if I will be talking to you shortly about air comfort after this segment is done, I'm not reading any of that. I'm just talking to you about air comfort. Air comfort sponsors the show. I am an air comfort customer. I will talk to you for a minute about them. About whatever I want, however I want. Those recorded spots that you might hear my voice in Mark Cox's show or Mark Cox's voice in this show, those are recorded. And in order to do that right, you just have to learn to read without thinking. It's a weird thing. It's a completely weird skill to have outside of media.
No, it's very true. I started by doing, on this station, Saturday morning news updates.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, this is a lot more difficult than just talking off the cuff.
Yes.
Because you have to write a news report, and you do have to kind of just let your brain go into like a different function.
You have to just
and
talk.
Take over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the other thing, too, is if I'm recording it, then I can fix any little thing. I can repeat any little thing that I do that isn't very well done. When I'm talking to you, if I flub a word, I just correct the word and keep going. I can't. It's gone. It's in the record.
It's live.
It's much more difficult to record. All right, there's a little behind-the-scenes stuff. Anyway,
what I have for you today with Wiggins America is something that has really been on my mind for a long time. Six
is this,
signs.
Is this a big moment for you?
I don't know. You tell me. Six signs that your coworkers don't like you. This is from Indeed.com.
So this is from like an employment. I noticed that and I'm like, well, that might be legit.
I think they're trying to help you out if you're trying to get a job and for some reason you just keep losing jobs. The first one is that your coworkers rarely include you in group discussions. Yeah. Now, I've noticed that you two, Brad and Annie, have kind of a private chat sometimes. And I'm not a part of that chat.
Well, it's because we're talking about you.
Well, Ryan, let me explain this to you. That says group discussions.
You're a sensitive dude. You don't want to hear what we're saying.
That's true.
But here's the thing. That's a group discussion. This is just a discussion. When it's just two people, it's just a discussion.
You know what, though? Sometimes I think Ethan might be in that discussion and still not me. But, you know, I'm gonna go completely opposite here and say, I don't really want to know. Not that it's even about me. Just whatever you guys are talking about in a given moment, if it doesn't involve me, I probably don't need to know.
I don't remember the last time I had a conversation with somebody about you.
Good. That's good. I can't remember the last time I had a conversation, especially over internet, about you. Now, people come to me and ask me questions about you sometimes.
Oh, sure.
Because we're on the radio, and they'll ask about something we're talking about. So,
are you my advocate, or are you trying to sabotage me there, too?
Oh, I'm brutally honest.
Hey, I am pretty aware of my very, very many dramatic flaws, so.
So whenever people ask me about some issue, it's always fun. Whenever they ask about our dynamic, that's actually a more fun conversation.
What do you say?
I say it's terrible.
Okay.
I say that we're so good at our jobs that what we come off on the radio is not at all what we're like
in
real life.
You tell them we really hate each other in real life?
I do.
Yeah. Why do we even need to do the rest of the segment?
We don't.
Okay.
Number two. They show negative body language when talking to you.
What are you talking about?
Even when these are ready-made for a reel. For you to just do this stuff, Brad added it after the show, ready to go. Even when your colleagues don't say anything negative to you, their body language may signify they dislike you. This is true. Sometimes you can walk into a room and just know.
Ice cold.
Uh-oh. I'm going to go ahead and go. Number three.
Of the times that you walk in the room and that's the mood, how many times do you actually sense that it's the mood? Are you like batting 500 here or...
I don't know because the conversation always stops and then they never tell you what they were talking about. So it's really hard to judge whether you're picking up on reality or not.
It's important that you know from the first one where you said that Ethan was part of these conversations, he has sent us in our private chat from outside. It's true, you're being excluded. Go on.
I can see that though, Ethan. You've really missed the mark now, buddy. I can see everything.
I think he wanted you to know.
Number three, they never celebrate your successes. Colleagues who celebrate your successes can make you feel more comfortable at work. When you notice that other members of your team never congratulate you.
Why are you talking like that? What's with the
because
tone?
Because I think, if I recall, I just won Q3 Odyssey Award for like teamsmanship or something. I have not heard a single thing out of, well, Brad, because he won it last
quarter. That's what I thought. That's what I thought.
But I haven't been congratulated. No trophies, no medals from you at all. Nothing.
I didn't know you won it.
Well, now you do.
Hooray.
Yeah. I mean, it's deserved.
It's deserved.
Thank you.
Thank you. Very, very excited to see the AFS representing on the teamwork.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you.
Yeah.
Back to back.
Very
proud
of my team.
Now, I'll be wearing a Wiggins America shirt when I go.
Okay. That's fine. I'm sure that's why you won the award.
If they bring it up, I'm going to say, oh, yes, I am also on the Annie Fry Show, but I guess I'm here for this, right?
I work it in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do this 5 days a week. That one. Number four, they avoid working with you. Thank you, Indeed. That one seems like a really obvious
one.
Are
you feeling good about this, or?
I don't know. I think that I'm okay. You know, I mean, we joke, but I think we actually do a pretty decent job at these things.
Yeah, you would.
They have my assessment of myself is always going to be pretty much a thumbs up.
It's true. I am envious of that skill that you have.
Teamwork is a key element of many professions. If you notice your colleagues seem unhappy when your supervisor asks them to collaborate with you, you may ask them about it directly.
Wiggins!
What's up with you guys? Come on. Remember, this is from the professionals who are trying to get you a job. Number five, they give you short and curt replies. No offense to my cousin Kurt. Asking to for
Kurt
help
with a K or with a C?
As with a K, so it doesn't really apply.
It's totally different.
Yeah, it's different. Asking for help or support is a natural thing when you're part of a team. When you ask your colleagues more in-depth or open-ended questions, and they only give you short yes and no replies, you may start wondering why this happens. Have you ever found yourself on the receiving end of any of these things?
Probably.
I think I have too.
The thing, though, is if you're on it, there might be people who don't like working with you because you don't like working with them. So which came first? The chicken or the egg?
Chicken or the egg. I don't think I've had this problem in workplaces. I do remember some social groups in high school that were like that. And it's always rough because if it's just a group of people that you don't know that well and you interact with them a little bit and you find that they're kind of keeping you out, okay, whatever. But if it's a group of friends, then all of a sudden you're not in the friend group anymore.
That's like way worse.
That's stuff it's girls brutal. Deal with a lot, but guys do too. I don't think that's exclusively to girls.
It just manifests differently. Yeah. Or womanifests.
Thank you. I mean, what is a womanifest, really? Number
it's
six.
It's like a manifest, but moodier.
Okay. Oh, man. There's some jokes right now.
Take the pitch.
I'm going to take the pitch. I'm going to take the pitch.
You couldn't hit it anyway.
Give him the
tape yes,
sign.
I could.
Go
I could
it.
Hit that.
It's a 3-0 count. Make or throw a strike.
I could hit that.
Number six, and this is really the last one. They undermine you. Yeah. If they're doing that, they probably don't like you. When one
I've
or more of your colleagues.
All of these things happen in the workplace to people.
You know what? I think everybody has seen all of these things happen at some point or another. I would like to think that one of my best roles in any company I've ever been is a uniter.
Oh, I thought you were going to say is the underminer.
No, but we can
it,
end
is
on
the
that.
Villain at the end of Incredibles.
The underminer?
Yeah. It's a good villain. I think that we have a great team. And in radio, as radio has... maybe shrunk a little bit in how many people are dedicated to any particular cause. You really do have to have a team that's interested in the same goal. And I think we do that pretty well.
I do too.
And we all definitely have different roles. Like you're here for...
These
what
things.
What are you here for?
I mean, I think just this kind of junk.
Stories about why people don't like me. Yeah. You're great, Ryan. I'm so proud of you. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm a Q3 winner.
Roy Murdoch, Robert C. Cahaley next.
Wiggins. Oh, Wiggins.
It's kind of an appropriate song.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one.
I think I love you.
Is that a new bump song for us? I don't think I've heard that on the 80
no,
Fry
probably
show.
Not.
I there, like it.
So we have this, I have this library of songs. Are there more than 700 or 800 songs in this library?
Oh, I couldn't give you an exact number, but it's up there.
It's
there's
up
a ton.
There. But
there's
I mean, it's accumulative over not just 2018 when I started Middays, but 2016. I curated all that music. And if you can't tell, I love the 90s, the 2000s.
David Cassidy.
David Cassidy's.
Mm-hmm.
Was that?
I think that was the Partridge Family or the
yes.
Brady Bunch. I don't remember
it's
which one.
It's the Partridge Family, I believe.
Is it? Okay.
But... we curate all these songs, and every once in a while, you'll remember this, Ryan. Brad was a listener then. Ryan, you were on the show then. But during COVID, you started doing dedications to people.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
Good times.
People could write in and dedicate a song, and you would do a dedication that sounded a little bit like
this.
Yeah,
this one goes out to Merrick Garland. Love that you are talking about election integrity, my friend.
Yeah.
For your choice, we have Celine Dion, or whatever.
That's pretty much the way that would go. So we have some of these songs that people, that you got, basically when you did that, you got it into my library.
Yeah.
And we've done over the course of years, different other segments that have involved songs. It gets into the library. And then I will play a song like that, and I'll be like, oh my gosh, this is from 2020 when we were doing dedications to people on Wednesdays.
That's amazing that you can remember that.
Well,
I did the dedications, I don't remember any of them.
Yeah.
I'm just reading, though. You know, when you just read and you don't speak off the cuff, you don't really remember what you're saying because it's just sort of programmed for you.
The less you think about what you're saying when you're reading something for copy, if you hear me doing a recorded spot on this station for a client that I support, like when I'm talking to you during the show, this is some BTS behind the scenes stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But like if I will be talking to you shortly about air comfort after this segment is done, I don't have an, I'm not reading any of that. I'm just talking to you about Air Comfort. Air Comfort sponsors the show. I am an Air Comfort customer. I will talk to you for a minute about them, about whatever I want, however I want. Those recorded spots that you might hear my voice in Mark Cox's show or Mark Cox's voice in this show, those are recorded. And in order to do that right, you just have to learn to read without thinking. It's a weird thing. It's a completely weird skill to have outside of media.
No, it's very true. I started by doing, sat on this station, Saturday morning news updates.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, this is a lot more difficult than just talking off the cuff.
Yes.
Because you have to write a news report and you do have to kind of just let your brain go into like a different function.
You have to just
and
talk,
take over.
Yeah. Because the other thing too is if I'm recording it, then I can fix any little thing. I can repeat any little thing that I do that isn't very well done. When I'm talking to you, if I flub a word, I just correct the word and keep going. I can't. It's gone. It's in
yeah,
the record.
It's live.
It's much more difficult to record. All right, there's a little behind the scenes stuff. Anyway,
what I have for you today with Wiggins America is something that has really been on my mind for a long time. Six signs.
Is this a big moment for you?
I don't know. You tell me. Six signs that your coworkers don't like you. This is from Indeed.com.
So this is from like an employment. I noticed that and I'm like, well, that might be legit.
Like they're trying to help you out if you're trying to get a job and for some reason you just keep losing jobs. The first one is that your coworkers rarely include you in group discussions.
Yeah.
Now, I've noticed that you two, Brad and Annie, have kind of a private chat sometimes. And I'm not a part of that chat.
Well, it's because we're talking about you.
Well, oh. Ryan, let me explain this to you. That says group discussions.
You're a sensitive dude. You don't want to hear what we're saying.
That's true.
But here's the thing. That's a group discussion. This is just a discussion. When it's just two people, it's just a discussion.
You know what, though? Sometimes I think Ethan might be in that discussion and still not me. But, you know, I'm gonna go completely opposite here and say, I don't really want to know. Not that it's even about me. Just whatever you guys are talking about in a given moment, if it doesn't involve me, I probably don't need to know.
I don't remember the last time I had a conversation with somebody about you.
Good. That's good. I can't remember the last time I had a conversation, especially over internet, about you. Now, people come to me and ask me questions about you sometimes.
Oh, sure.
Because we're on the radio, and they'll ask about something we're talking about. So,
are you my advocate, or are you trying to sabotage me there, too?
Oh, I'm brutally honest.
Hey, I am pretty aware of my very, very many dramatic flaws, so.
So whenever people ask me about some issue, it's always fun. Whenever they ask about our dynamic, that's actually a more fun conversation.
What do you say?
I say it's terrible.
Okay.
I say that we're so good at our jobs that what we come off on the radio is not at all what we're like
in
real life.
Tell them we really hate each other
in
real life?
I do.
Yeah. Why do we even need to do the rest of the segment?
We don't.
Okay.
Number two. They show negative body language when talking to you.
What are you talking about?
Even when these are ready made for a reel. For you to just do this stuff, Brad to edit it after the show, ready to go. Even when your colleagues don't say anything negative to you, their body language may signify they dislike you. This is true. Sometimes you can walk into a room and just know.
Ice cold.
Uh-oh. I'm going to go ahead and go. Number three.
Of the times that you walk into the room and that's the mood, how many times do you actually sense that it's the mood? Are you like batting 500 here or...
I don't know because the conversation always stops and then they never tell you what they were talking about. So it's really hard to judge whether you're picking up on reality or
not. It's important that you know from the first one where you said that Ethan was part of these conversations. He has sent us in our private chat from outside. It's true. You're being excluded. Go on.
I can see that though, Ethan. You've really missed the mark now, buddy. I can see everything.
I think he wanted you to know.
Number three, they never celebrate your successes. Colleagues who celebrate your successes can make you feel more comfortable at work. When you notice that other members of your team never congratulate you.
Why are you talking like that? What's with the tone?
Because I think, if I recall, I just won Q3 Odyssey Award for like teamsmanship or something. I have not heard a single thing out of, well, Brad, because he won it last
quarter. That's what I thought. That's what I thought.
But I haven't been congratulated. No trophies, no medals from you at all. Nothing.
I didn't know you won it.
Well, now you do.
Hooray.
Yeah. I mean, it's deserved.
It's deserved.
Thank you.
Very, very excited to see the AFS representing on the teamwork.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
Yeah.
Back to back.
Very
yeah.
Proud,
yeah.
Proud of my team.
Now, I'll be wearing a Wiggins America shirt when I go.
Okay, that's fine. I'm sure that's why you won the award.
If they, yeah. If they bring it up, I'm going to say, oh yes, I am also on the Annie Fry Show, but I guess I'm here for this, right?
I work it in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do this 5 days a week, that one. number four, they avoid working with you. Thank you, indeed. That one seems like a really obvious
one.
Are
you feeling good about this, or?
I don't know. I think that I'm okay. You know, I mean, we joke, but I think we actually do a pretty decent job at these things.
Yeah, you would.
They have my assessment of myself is always going to be pretty much a thumbs up.
Yeah. It's true. I am envious of that skill that you have.
Teamwork is a key element of many professions. If you notice your colleagues seem unhappy when your supervisor asks them to collaborate with you, you may ask them about it directly.
Wiggins?
What's up with you guys? Come on. Remember, this is from the professionals who are trying to get you a job. Number five, they give you short and curt replies. Mm. No offense to my cousin Kurt. Asking to for
Kurt
help.
With a K or with a C?
As with a K, so it doesn't
this
really apply.
It's totally different.
Yeah, it's different. Asking for help or support is a natural thing when you're part of a team. When you ask your colleagues more in-depth or open-ended questions, and they only give you short yes and no replies, you may start wondering why this happens. Have you ever found yourself on the receiving end of any of these things?
Probably.
I think I have too.
The thing, though, is if you're on it, there might be people who don't like working with you because you don't like working with them. So which came first? The chicken or the egg?
Chicken or the egg. I don't think I've had this problem in workplaces. I do remember some social groups in high school that were like that. And it's always rough because if it's just a group of people that you don't know that well and you interact with them a little bit and you find that they're kind of keeping you out, okay, whatever. But if it's a group of friends, then all of a sudden you're not in the friend group anymore.
That's like way worse.
That's stuff it's girls brutal. Deal with a lot, but guys do too. I don't think that's exclusively to girls.
It just manifests differently. Yeah. Or womanifests.
Thank you. I mean, what is a womanifest, really? Number
it's
six.
Like a manifest, but moodier.
Okay. Oh, man. There's some jokes right now.
Take the pitch.
I'm going to take the pitch. I'm going to take the pitch.
You couldn't hit it anyway.
Give him the
take yes,
sign.
I could.
Go
I could
it.
Hit that.
It's a 3-0 count. Make her throw a strike.
I could hit that.
Number six, and this is really the last one. They undermine you. Yeah. If they're doing that, they probably don't like you. When one
I've
or more of your colleagues.
All of these things happen in the workplace to people.
You know what? I think everybody has seen all of these things happen at some point or another. I would like to think that one of my best roles in any company I've ever been is a uniter.
Oh, I thought you were going to say is the underminer.
No, but we can end on that.
It's the villain at the end of Incredibles.
The underminer?
Yeah. It's a good villain. I think that we have a great team. And in radio, as radio has... maybe shrunk a little bit in how many people are dedicated to any particular cause. You really do have to have a team that's interested in the same goal. And I think we do that pretty well.
I do too.
And we all definitely have different roles. Like you're here for...
These
what
things.
Are you here for?
I mean, I think just this kind of junk.
Stories about why people don't like me. Yeah. You're great, Ryan. I'm so proud of you. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm a Q3 winner.
Roy Murdoch, Robert C. Cahaley next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.